And thanks to the help we get from Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. He happens to be an ASC certified technician, as his troops are there. He's helping us out again, yet again, after all these years. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things with you and Lloyd's?
Things are good. You know, it's, we're in a nice groove right now. We got the schedules full, and we're kind of cycling through some days off for the guys. Obviously, everyone needs a little summer rest. So we're just in a real nice place, nice groove, getting ready and enjoy the last many weeks of summer before we get into the next part of the year. But we're all good.
Yeah, it won't be too long until you and I start talking about getting vehicles ready for fall and winter. But that's yet for another day. Let's stick with summer for a while. If you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text. And keep in mind that Nick takes his leave about 7:45, so our time goes by rather quickly. So if you have a question, don't wait. Again, whichever is easy for you, if you want to call and chat with Nick, great. If you want to just send a text like some folks are already doing, either way, here's the number for either 651-461-9226. Right off the bat, Nick, we were getting, even before you joined us, getting text messages for the show. Here's one. It says, good morning. How long does Freon last in a vehicle? The AC system, if you only use it occasionally when driving, love the show, thank you. What do you think for somebody who lets a car sit for a lot, or a car or truck, with the refrigerant in there? Does that happen, in some cases, leak out, seals become brittle, or whatever?
Well, it's, you know, to answer, it's not a consumable, as you know. It's not like gasoline where it uses that to make the refrigerant work. It's no different than your refrigerator at home or air conditioning unit. It's a sealed system by design. However, the sealed system is in a vehicle that is moving and sees the full slate, you know, winter, summer, ice, sleet, snow. So a lot of those components, those seals, can have some wear and tear. The seals can rupture or corrode and create a leak. So if you're having your air conditioning not working as it used to, the first thing to do is determine whether or not it's full of refrigerant. So you take it into your shop, and they'll determine that. Oftentimes what we do is we'll do an evacuation, figure out how low it is, refill it. But when we fill it back up, we add some dye. And the reason for the dye is to help us locate a leak if it's visible. And I say that because it's quite often that you'll evacuate it, you'll recharge it, you'll cycle the system, run it for a good period of time, allow that dye to kind of work its way through all the components. But even after that, you may not see it at that point. It might take even longer. So we'll have people pick up the vehicle, go about their routine, and ask them to return in a period of time. Or if they notice that it's not working as well as it once was, that's the key. You know, it's still blowing, but it's kind of lukewarm. It's not as cold as it used to be. That's when you need to get back in, so we can look for that dye. Oftentimes, though, people say, yeah, you filled it up for me last summer, and it was fine for most of the year, and then it kind of didn't work well at the end, but yeah, the year was over. But then we start over because that dye would have washed away. So if it's not as cold as it used to be, have it inspected and diagnosed. If it's just a matter of a recharge, have them do that. Have them add the dye. But the key is, if you notice it not working as well as it once was, get that back so we can at least pinpoint the leak, and then you can decide what you'd like to do.
Yeah, at least if you can, if it's in your budget, to become more comfortable. Because I'm looking at that forecast, Nick. Oh, my goodness. You're going to get a lot of folks in there who's maybe deciding that the AC is not working like you just said, like it used to. We're going to be close to 100 degrees this coming week. So that will... put the strain on a lot of not only human beings, but things like batteries, too, which we talk about from time to time. Nick, here's another question that just came in a bit ago. Antifreeze. The question is about antifreeze. It comes in yellow and green. What's the difference?
Well, it's not just yellow and green. There's some blue and some purple. A lot of these different manufacturers have. Well, it's not just yellow and green. There's some blue and some purple. A lot of these different manufacturers have a different makeup of the refrigerant. A lot of it's a coloring. Most of the chemistry is very, very similar, but they're not necessarily interchangeable. So make sure you go with your owner's manual or look at the bottle. Some of the global ones will work on a large variety of vehicles. So if you just need to top off a little bit, you need like a pint or so. A lot of those ones that say global, make sure it has your manufacturer and it fits what your vehicle requirements are, but you can top off with that. But you don't want to mix them because it can make a different, have a different chemical reaction, create, you know, a sludgy or a muddy component there. So you don't want to do that. But they're, for the most part, they're very similar, but the colors kind of help differentiate different manufacturers.
I have a question related to coolant and a phrase that I haven't heard in a long time. I'm not even sure. You have to tell me if it's even done anymore, and that's radiator flushing. I guess, is that kind of an old and archaic term these days?
Well, a lot of the fluids of all types, not just coolant, but the transmission fluids, engine oils, you know, the makeup has changed, so the intervals have changed with that. So we still will do a cooling system service as recommended, or oftentimes with the repair. We have a vehicle in, there's a leak of some sort. We'll notice that the coolant isn't necessarily bad, but it could definitely use some freshening up. So at that time, we'll open the system up, drain everything out of there, so we have, once that repair is made, it's full of fresh coolant.
All right, very good. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick break here again, and let's invite our listeners to join in. I know our time is limited here. If you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, don't wait. Let's hear from you, either by phone or by text. If you want to call it in, we'll hear your lovely voice, or send a text if that's easier, 651-461-9226. This is our Car Care Show on News Talk 830. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denning Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Now, Nick, for folks just joining in, maybe for the first time, and might need some help from you or your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yeah, if you're, as you know very well, Denning, we're right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. The street number is 982 Grand, and next time you're by, Denning, you'll see that they took our ash trees this last week, so there's a lot of sunshine on Grand Avenue these days.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure they'll plant some replacements, and it'll take some time, but we'll have some shade again soon. So that's our street address. If you ever have to give us a call, we're at 651-228-1316, and our website is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. We'll get you that information before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, 651-461-9226. Let's see, we're getting a bunch of text messages as we speak. This one from a listener says, how to shut off the airbag light on a 2013 Chrysler Town & Country minivan.
Well, like many of the indicators on the dash, that airbag light is a warning. When you start the vehicle does a self-test. So a lot of the different indicators might come on for a moment, pretty much notifying you that it's doing a self-test. If everything tests fine, the light goes out. As with the airbag, it comes on, it does a self-test, it sees something it doesn't like. There's a sensor, a component that's not given the right reading, and so that light stays on. So there's not a way to shut it off necessarily, to ignore it or avoid it. But keep in mind, if that light is on, that means that the system is not functioning as designed. In the event of an accident, those airbags won't deploy. So I would ask this texter to probably have that, assess, figure out what the code is, what it's related to. It could be something as simple as a seatbelt buckle. Keep in mind, that's a moving component that we're using every time we get in the vehicle, so there's some wear and tear there. The other common area might be within the steering wheel, where the airbag is located. As we all know, that the steering wheel rotates left and right. Well, there's a component in there that allows for an electrical connection and allows it to turn. That clock screen, as we call it, could also have worn out, not allowing proper contact, turning the light on. So I would ask that person to have that looked at You know, we don't want an accident, number one, and we definitely don't want our airbags not deploying in the event that we have one.
Nick, listener wants to know, ask you, why do you think people shut off the auto on their car's AC system? Could it be to save fuel? Well, I don't know. My vehicle, when I see it automatically goes on auto as far as air conditioning, I don't like it because it just goes on one level, like one dash level, and it's recirculating the same air. I always zap it and put it on, dash and lower level and, you know, the fan and all that stuff. So I don't know what, it's conjecture. I mean, I don't think it saves any fuel, does it, what you would do with it?
No, I don't. If the air conditioning compressor is engaged and on, it is taking a little more power from the engine, which is going to affect fuel economy. I think with technology and with components that we have in vehicles today, it's probably not as dramatic as it once was. But the auto setting, it depends who you're riding with. If there's two people in the vehicle, you and your spouse, like in my vehicle, it's either too hot or too cold. So I just pretty much leave it alone and let my wife manage the temperature settings.
I've been there. I know that routine. 651-461-9226 is our text and phone number for any kind of a car care question you might have of Nick. Texter says they have an 05 Honda Pilot that only drives about 2,000 miles a year. Their question is, can I use full synthetic oil to avoid changing the oil base more on miles instead of time? You've heard that question before.
We have, and it depends. We're not just worried about the oil because it's getting worn out from working its way through its life. We also worry about the heating and cooling cycles, which can create condensation. That moisture is absorbed into the oil, which can create sludge. So I would rather say if you're using the vehicle on a year-round basis, even minimally, I think twice a year. That way, any of the condensation from the extreme heat like next week or the deep cold of January winters, I think it's good to keep fresh oil in. I'd rather see them use if the vehicle calls for conventional oil, to use that twice a year versus trying to stretch it out with synthetic and end up with more of that moisture collecting in the oil.
I know in many ways it's just marketing, but what would be your professional opinion on some of these oils? And I know you guys have good oil that you use there at Lloyd's, and I like, I like the Mobil 1. And I get that extended performance, but what makes it really different? Let's just say apples to apples. You taught using Mobil 1, let's say, full synthetic. Is there any difference in that oil compared to, like, the extended performance?
I'm not a chemist. Right. But I will say, though, that a lot of marketing goes into oil. We, as much as possible, like 99% of the time, use a branded oil. I don't like a lot of the house blend oils. They might pass some tests that, I'm sure there's certain criteria that they need to have. But, vehicles are expensive. Engines are expensive. I'm not trying to cut corners when it comes to the most vital piece to it, which is the motor oil. I myself use Mobil 1, as you know. I'm still most comfortable with it, but I also still change the oil on my truck every 5,000 miles. There's over 100,000 miles on it, and the oil still, you pull the dipstick, it still looks clean. It doesn't get that, there's no sludge, none of that stuff. And if you're, and you should keep your vehicle for a long time. You should try to get a full life cycle out of it. And to prevent any of that additional damage from lack of clean oil, if the vehicle calls for synthetic oil, I like the branded products. They cost a couple dollars more, but over the life of the vehicle, I think it saves you thousands. So I don't know how better to say it, but use a good quality oil. A good quality filter. If you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're looking at the shelf and there's one for a couple dollars more, you can read all the marketing on the packaging and the beautiful, colorful box that it comes in. But, my opinion has been always the higher quality product costs a couple of dollars more, but I think it definitely serves you best in the long run.
Yeah, especially when it comes to motor oil. All right, Nick, we're going to have to take a quick break for that steamy forecast. We'll come back and we'll have more questions to get answered here. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car question you may have on your mind, we'll pick up on when we return here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back with the ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, answering those car care questions you may have here for the next few minutes. 651-461-9226. We'll get those questions answered for you. Nick, more text messages have come in since we broke for weather. Here's another one. Good morning, Denny and Nick. I have a 2012 Ford Fusion SEL with a four-cylinder 120,000 miles on it. The electric power steering failed. I've checked the fuses, and they're still good. What else could be wrong? Is it possible that Ford would still cover this failure? What do you think?
Some of those repairs can be quite expensive, so I would definitely advise, you know, reaching out, trying to contact someone, see what the warranty was, see if there was ever a recall or a bulletin that might have extended that warranty. You know, especially on a lot of these very expensive repairs, safety-related power steering, obviously safety-related, sometimes the manufacturer will extend a warranty period on some of these types of repairs. So I think it's worth a phone call. You know, fuses are good. I'm happy that the texter or listener, you know, had the foresight to get to that point. But oftentimes it's actually that module itself or that unit itself. We're learning that a lot of these newer electric systems or components are kind of like an all-in-one piece. So I doubt that there's a repair to the part short of replacing it.
I'm looking at another text. Does not say what year, what manufacturer. It's a truck question. And again, an oil question. I think there's some confusion from time to time about synthetic. This question says, if my truck calls for synthetic blend, can I use full synthetic? Heck, I use full synthetic and even my small engine stuff, as long as it's the right viscosity. What do you think about that particular blend versus a full?
Well, it's my understanding that most motor oils, you know, when you say conventional oil, there's a lot more science in oil these days, and there's a lot more chemistry and a little bit of manipulating. So it's my understanding any good quality conventional oil is probably deemed semi-synthetic. You know, the term synthetic oil, you do a little research, a lot of it is, I don't want to say marketing because it is real, it is true. A good quality synthetic is, it's going to be costly too. So, you know, it's unfortunate to have to put it this way, but oftentimes the brand names, where, you know, you look on the shelf and they'll show you a couple different varieties. You know, they might say conventional or standard. I might say semi-synthetic or full synthetic, you know, reference the owner's manual. But, you know, to answer their question, I think you can always upgrade, meaning if it calls for a semi-synthetic and using the full synthetic is not going to hurt anything, gives you a little bit that, you know, maybe you can get to that 5,000-mile oil change interval. And if you're, you know, driving however many miles a year, you can kind of schedule that easier with the seasons. But, you know, motor oil creates a lot of confusion. And I'll say it one last time, as we always do, I like to stick to the branded products. I know there's some integrity and quality there. Some of the off-brand stuff or some of the, I don't want to use the word gimmicky, but some of the marketing items, as you read through some of these things, too good to be true is likely not true. So
yeah,
that's my
exactly. two cents. Exactly. All right, let's see here. As a 2017 GMC Acadia, the check engine light comes on. Then the AC quits working. Pretty sure the texter says the compressor is not kicking in. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Don't quote me here, but I suspect with a lot of systems in the vehicle, these vehicles are computer controlled and they're very smart, meaning it sees a failure in a particular system or component and it kind of gets in a CYA kind of mode, meaning it's going to kind of protect itself. So it sees a problem and somehow that's related maybe to the air conditioning or something along those lines. So it's going to shut that system off in addition to prevent any further damage. You know, the air conditioning of its own can't turn the check engine light on because it's not an emissions-related item, but there might be something that they share that is, that's shutting that off. So I would, especially with this next week coming up, as the forecast says, I would have that looked at, get that resolved, and hopefully that get the air conditioning working again for this texter.
All right, I think we have time maybe for one more. This is kind of a long a paragraph sent in, but basically they're asking something. In fact, it's a topic we've talked about from time to time. It's about the drains, you know, on cars, the drain system, meaning, you know, when we get leaves and stuff by the sunroof, and you know what I'm talking about, that kind of a drain. The question is, can those be cleaned by a do-it-yourselfer?
Absolutely. And for the sunroof, for an example, you know, you can open the sunroof up, you can stand up inside into the vehicle and kind of stick your head out. And in the four corners, there'll be a little, look like almost like straw that goes down into the vehicle. And those drains kind of run down the pillar, and inside the door jamb often is where that they will run out. So if you can, you know, get up there with a paper towel or a rag and just kind of wipe that out. If you see any of the clumping items, pull that away, because, you know, your sunroof, for example, isn't perfectly sealed. You know, it can't really be. It opens and closes, and it kind of runs on a channel. So they put drains there to keep from any fluid or water leaking in. Same goes for the base of the windshield or the cowling when you open your hood. That's where a lot of the air intake for your heating and cooling systems are. And if you see any debris or leaves, pull that out of there, because, you know, when we get a heavy rain, oftentimes those things can kind of float up or pool up and create a restriction or plug something up, which can cause water to get to places it shouldn't be. So absolutely, you can do it yourself. Just be cautious. Take your time. Don't, if you're trying to force something, don't, because you don't want to break anything, you know, especially with the sunroof or some of that cowling. Those plastic pieces can be expensive and maybe difficult to replace. But at the first step, get out there with a rag, maybe a shop vac, clean that out and see if it doesn't help that texture.
All right, I think we have time, Nick, for one more. Texter says a 2016 Subaru Outback, the horn quit working. The texter says, I brought it in, was told they tested the horn itself, and it works. Now, the fuse is good. Well, as could it be?
Well, in most cases, you know, you go from the steering wheel pad, you know, to, through some sort of circuitry with a fuse, maybe a relay, and the horn itself. So, you know, if they know that the fuse is good and the horn is good, we need to check that switch and get the wiring diagram out to see if there's a relay or another piece in there, because at some point something's not. So it looks like they got through maybe some of the easier accessible pieces. Now it comes time to get that wire diagram out and maybe dig a little deeper.
All right. We're just about out of time, and this is a question for the ages. In your opinion, Texas says, why do auto manufacturers put fuse boxes in spots that are so inaccessible? You can say that for a lot of components.
I was going to say, you could ask a technician mechanic, there's a long list of why did they do this. So I have come up with a, or maybe read somewhere, vehicles were designed to be assembled, not repaired. So when you get into something, you're thinking, well, why do they do this? Because as they put that vehicle together, which is like a sandwich, as they put the layers together, that's the sequence of how it went together. They weren't thinking that sometime down the road, would be really convenient to have this accessible. So it creates a lot of frustration in most shops from time to time, but you know, that's kind of what we say. They're designed to be assembled, not repaired.
I love that line. That's so true. Nick, thanks so much for today. Let's do this again next week. Tell us how to get in touch with Lloyd's before we leave.
Absolutely. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. So if you're out for a lunch or a walk, swing by and say hi sometime. If you ever have to give us a call with a question or make an appointment, we're at 651-228-1316. And then if you're on your device or in front of your computer, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick, thanks a bunch. Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell standing by with another wine chat. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. That's next hour. Straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.